Are you saying you faked with me?
Yeah.
Wrong. Now you're single.
What do you know about sexual relations?
Is it true that if you don't use it, you lose it?
I'm a little worried about being a slut.
You're listening to the Come With Us podcast, presented by Darling Way, talking the good, the kinky, and the ugly. Here are your hosts, Beth, Aaron, and Tina.
Hello, hello, my darling friends. Oh my gosh, I am so glad y'all are here because I don't know that I can handle Tina and Aaron together just by myself anymore. So thank you so much for joining us today for Come With Us podcast. Oh my goodness. We started off with there's a pair of shorts on the floor next to Tina. And what did you tell Aaron they were? He's like, what is this, your laundry? And what'd you say?
Yes, it's my night shorts.
Those were her night shorts. Now the rest... Go on, Aaron, tell him what she said.
She
to
said
you.
They were cum stained or cum filled night shorts.
Yes!
Which then made me back away and go the opposite way to go to the other room and grab another water bottle. So
there we go. This is the way when you hear us on air, I promise you, this is actually how we are, except this is a little bit tamer only because we're all over the place. But today we are talking about sexual red flags in a relationship. And damn, there are so many of them, but it's a question of how do you stop in the name of love, or stop when you're wearing sexy goggles, and how do you deal with them before you completely crash? Because God knows we've all done some crashing. But I'm Beth Darling from sexyedschool.com, where you can find everything you need, the education that you need to make your loving dreams come true, the same as you can here on Come With Us podcast. So, all right, let's just dive right into this because we brought up the idea of sexual red flags. And wow, did we just go off on just a tangent? There are so many red flags that we see. And sometimes we see the obvious and we stay, which is, we do the stupid. We'll talk about that. But I think maybe we can categorize them into three categories. This was my suggestion, was that there are the annoying, the need to resolve before going further, and get the fuck out of Dodge. I think those are three reasonable categories, right? Can we talk, think about those three? All right. So then we'll go through a bunch that we saw, and we'll talk about which category we might put them in. Does that sound like a plan?
Yeah, I mean, so
can you get past the cum-filled night shorts just to think about sexual? Is that a sexual red flag? If you went into some woman's house and there were like cum-filled night shorts, and they weren't yours?
Yeah, considering I'm married.
Oh well, yeah, okay. If you were single,
I mean, let's keep that in mind. If I were single, I'd be like, what?
Wow, what would you do if your wife wanted to keep your her night shorts with your cum on it?
That's fine.
That's cool. Okay, there you go.
Like, if I'm literally showing up if I were single and I showed up to another single woman's house, and she's like, oh, yeah, that's what I wore to sleep last night, but there's cum all over them. I'd be like, wait a minute. Is it yours? Because if it's not yours, then I have questions on how it got there and why it's so recent.
I mean, it is. It's both.
Yeah. That's right. I like it's like, a cocktail of cum.
Recency. I need the recency check and like, hey, you're like showering that before I'm going anywhere near, like...
I love that. Okay, so that's a need to resolve before going further. There we go. Okay,
yeah.
And first
some of these,
one.
Some of these are more... a lot of them we're going to get to are sexual. Let's just stipulate
right,
that.
They're sexual.
But there
flags.
Will be a few that are also going to be kind of outside the bedroom. But we're trying to focus mostly on when you're in the bedroom kind of things that'll make you go, oh, shit. Like, we need to pause for a second.
Yeah, because too often... Men and women, we're like, when we're having good sexy, it's the sexy goggles. I say beer goggles are actually much more transparent than sexy goggles, because when we're having like sex, even if it's just passable, but we've been hungry for a while, we see things differently. We're willing to give up, to settle for so much just to keep some sex going.
Yeah, wow. God damn it. What's that movie? You're Blinded by the Booty. That's what they fucking, it wasn't 40-Year-Old Virgin, I don't think. Maybe it was 40-Year-Old Virgin. He said, you're booty blinded. You can't focus on what's wrong with her because you're too worried about, getting that ass.
Yes. It really, and frankly, there's chemicals that account for it. Because when we are sexually intimate from orgasm and even just turn on, then men and women have different dopamine and serotonin and things that sort of oxytocin that start flooding our brain and make us basically bond and want to stay together. So it's like, yeah, it's just hard. I don't know. There should be a walk, you know, when you're like the cops pull you over and think you're drunk and they try and make you walk a line. Well, sexual red flags, like when we just barrel through them, then it's a good chance that we've got some sex goggles going on. So, all right. So we threw out some. And who wants to get started? Who's got a good one? Well, actually, Aaron, you went on. You got some feedback from people that you know. Tell us a couple.
I don't know any of them. Oh, I just posted on Reddit a couple days ago because knowing that we were going to do this for some show prep, I decided, you know what? I've been in a relationship long enough. There are no red flags, really, because I wouldn't have married her if there would have been.
Okay, but actually, let's tackle that, because sometimes there haven't been red flags, but I say people get married, and then 10 years later, their person wasn't an alcoholic before, but now they become one, or they have some other something. So red flags can develop in a relationship, even if you're 10, 20, 30, 40 years on.
Yeah.
They just can't.
Fair enough.
So, yeah. Okay.
I don't have any
glaring ones right now.
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
So I decided, you know what, I'll ask the people of the internet and see what they say.
I love it.
So one of the top one that got the most response was some guy met a woman who would not stop talking about how much money she made and how rich she was. And so they went out on a date and he made her pay for the check. Because if you're going to run your mouth and you're so damn rich, cool, you're going to treat me. Then he didn't
Was that a red flag? Do you think, is it a red flag if people are bragging about how much money they have?
I mean, if you're going to brag about how much money you have and then you don't want to prove it, like,
okay.
Well, we're going to get to why the hell okay. She had a problem with paying for
well,
the
yeah,
bill.
Well, yeah, but I was thinking sometimes bragging about a lot of money to me is a red flag that they're making up for something. When somebody's bragging about anything, like a lot,
yeah.
Then I think they're hiding something else.
But then okay, they went on another date and then had sex. And after they got done, she said, wow, you're a lot better at that than my husband. So Not only was she hiding the fact that she was married, but she didn't want to pay for having all this quote-unquote money, probably because she shared a bank account with her husband and didn't want to have to explain why she spent $100 on a nice dinner somewhere that wasn't with him.
Oh, wait. So I assumed that she did pay for the dinner when
she
he
did.
Said. Oh,
but
okay.
She gave him attitude when he said, if you're so rich, pay for the dinner.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I mean, that's what I'm inferring from the way these comments are left. That
I gotcha.
It was probably a shit. Now I got to find a way to hide this money because he's going to see that I spent money on dinner that wasn't just for me.
Right.
And then,
oh my God. Well, yeah. Okay. So on the upside, he's better than her husband. On the downside, I'd say marriage. Yeah. I'm thinking that's probably
already having someone. Yeah.
And not telling him, like, cause there are people online. I do online dating. There are people online who just say I'm married or I'm in an open relationship or I'm, basically they can even admit that they're just cheating, like, you know, but I'm not available for anything more than just fun. Don't get your hopes up, things like that. So I appreciate that at least. So, yeah, I think if somebody's lying to you, I think that's a big, or hiding something from you.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good one. Thank you, whoever sent that. All right, what other ones did you get?
Bragging about being toxic. Like, that's just...
Oh.
That's where I get... Like, that's not a bedroom thing. That's a...
You're fucking crazy. If you're bragging about being toxic, who brags about being toxic? I mean, I get it.
People, crazy bitches.
In like a funny way, like, you know, TikTok always talks about whatever. But like, if you're actually bragging, that's just like saying like, I'm a shitty person.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think people do that. And I think that's like, to me, that's a get the fuck out. When somebody just says, I don't even know. What did they say?
But people all the time, this is like very millennial Gen Z thing. Girls who, and guys who say like, oh, that, you know, it's fucking did this shit and it's toxic. Like, I'm so toxic, blah, blah, blah. Like, there's literally a nightclub on this street in Houston called Washington Street with all the nightclubs. And there's a huge, like, painted, like, lit up sign that just says toxic on it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think anybody who's bragging or telling you stories and laughing about how toxic they are, I think they haven't resolved that, because anybody who's healthy and wants to do better is going to be ashamed of the things. And God knows I've made some really stupid fucking bad decisions and done some things I'm not proud of. But again, I'm not proud of them. So I don't brag about that and go, oh, this is, you know, so blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a difference between playing or portraying yourself as the bad boy or the bad girl, because every guy knows that women want the guy who's going to, you know, hey, I'm dangerous, blah, blah.
No,
that's fine.
The woman who wants that bad boy like that, then they're not healthy too.
Yeah. That's but everybody likes, like, you know, people like that portrayal of themselves at times, but when you just straight up say, basically, I'm a fucking piece of shit and I've got issues and baggage that, you know, hey, and I'm proud of this. No.
Yes. Right. Then you should say, thank you so much for being honest. I really appreciate it.
Get
and
the fuck
I,
out.
Exactly. I completely am going to accept your version of the story and see you later. Yeah. I know I have a tendency to overlook and to think, oh, well, they're just, you know, they're trying to get better or there's something good under there. And then, no, the fact is, I had one guy who really did. He told me all these other people had said what an asshole he was. And I still dated him for so long thinking he wasn't. And then at the end, when I realized, I was like, oh my God, I'm so fucking stupid because you told me that you were an asshole. And I said, no, no, you're not. What an idiot I am.
Well, that's
like,
the
you're
thing,
right.
Is that,
you were right. You are an asshole. You that, win.
That's the quote, is if you wake up in the morning and you run into assholes on your way to work, and then you're at work and you're surrounded by assholes, and then you go home and you're surrounded by assholes, maybe you're the asshole. Like, if you think everybody around you is just an asshole and a piece of shit, and, you know, maybe look in the mirror for a minute and go, wait, why are all these people have the exact same thing in common when they all seem to be getting along with each other, but not me?
Right. And it's funny. Well, that's this, you know, Freud's projection. We actually see in others who we are, which again took me a while. When I have people who are really jealous, when I've been dating them and they're really jealous and about me and thinking that I'm doing something wrong, and I always am like, no, 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 and I'm trying so hard to prove that I'm not. It's taken me forever to realize it's because they're thinking stuff. Like, I'm not thinking they're thinking anything because I know I'm not. So I'm just like, why are you thinking I'm doing something wrong? Now I've learned if they're thinking, if they're jealous of me and I know that I'm not anything, there's something going on that side. So yeah, if you're thinking everybody else is an asshole, it's generally you're the asshole.
Yep.
Good point. Then that would be get the fuck out. When people show you who they are, get the fuck out. But then there are some people who see the obvious and do the stupid.
Yeah.
Hello, hello. Been there, done that. Bad idea. So, all right. What other, did you have any other thoughts from them?
Constantly telling stories about the exes. That's something that everybody kind of, I guess, acknowledges, is that if you've got somebody who's constantly talking about their ex, they're not over them.
Right, right. They're still lingering. It might be that they don't want them any, but they haven't resolved.
Yeah.
I say there's, it's like a plane that has to circle an airport because it's got too much jet fuel before landing. You know, if they're carrying all that emotion from their previous relationship, they can't have a safe landing with you or a safe beginning takeoff. So
yeah,
yeah, that's it. Okay.
And then two more. When she says all she is friends with are guys and not girls, like that's a,
or
that
a
can
man
be a fucking problem.
Right. Or a man who says he doesn't have any guy friends. All of his friends are girls.
Yeah.
I think either women. And yeah. I think that whoever you are, if you can't be friendly and have people of both genders, of any gender, then that is a little bit of a concern that there's something wrong.
Yeah. And there, I mean, we talked about this off the air that there's nothing wrong if you have a lot of friends that are of the opposite sex.
Yeah.
But if the fact that nobody of the same sex as you wants to be your friend, or you don't seek them out as any of them at all, as even one friend, then you got a problem.
Yeah, I think that's
very
true.
And then that can drag into your relationship or your potential relationship really easily.
Yeah, and I think we do. We see it more with women because there's sort of this more of a competition thing. And if there's a woman who really can't be friends with other women, oftentimes it's because she's so competitive and she creates distrust or stirs things up, and it's just not a good thing. So yeah, I think, and friendships are really important for men and women. They, people in happy, healthy, long-term relationships have good friends outside the relationship, because that's where they go when they're just a little bit pissed. Like, that's where they go to air their little grievances, collecting, you know, themselves, and then they come back into the relationship and can speak to things in a more constructive way. We need vent, right? Everything. A microwave needs a vent. A computer needs a vent. People need a vent. So a safe place to vent.
And then the final one that was also very popular on this thread that I started was the one who says, if you can't handle me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best.
Mm.
That right there. I don't know any guy who's not blinded by ass who's going to go, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. No, she sounds like a fucking nut job. And
okay.
The fact that's the same, that's almost on that same level as being toxic and acknowledging, oh, I'm such a toxic person. No, if you have that much shitty experience that you know people around you don't want to be around you because you're such an ass. And then you go, well, if you can't handle me being an ass like everybody else, then you don't deserve bullshit. Change you. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing in this world that says, you know, hey, you can't look in the mirror and change your ass, bitch.
Okay, yeah. But there is some truth in the fact that, like, if you are, like, when you're in a bad mood, when you're, you know, everyone gets, like, a piece. Like, sometimes people are just, like, not nice. Like, I'm not nice in the mornings. Like, stuff like that, you know. Or sometimes you just made a mistake and you don't, whatever, like...
Yes.
A person can't be like, hey, you know, that's a deal breaker because you're whatever.
Yeah.
But I just also think, like, the type of person who says that is just like, I don't know. Well, I can't.
And I think it's the difference because, you know, Aaron did. He mentioned this before and it just grated with me. And I think to me it's the difference of whether you lead with that or whether when you're in a relationship, when you've been for several months and then somebody just can't handle your little shit. That to me... Then that's not right. That's absolutely true.
It's if like, you think it's I'm just like going to only be something perfect. Something that's intuitive to a degree that like you don't have... Like
right.
Saying it is obnoxious, I think. Like, but like it's something that should be respected, you know?
Yeah, because... So for me, for example... As justification, again, I'm agreeing. When somebody has that on their dating profile, I think that's not good.
Truly, also, if it's excuse for bad behavior, but everyone is bad. Like everyone is. No one's perfect. So if you can't handle that person on their, they only on their very best days can you be with them. That's not a relationship.
Exactly. Right. And that's what I'm saying. So for later in a relationship, because otherwise, like in my marriage, 23 years, I kept thinking that I had to be. This every, like, all the time. And he couldn't and wouldn't deal with the things that I needed when I just really needed to just cry and be hugged and be loved and taken care of. He wasn't willing or able to deal with that. And so I had to, it was a defensive mechanism, right? I had to think, no, if you're not going to be there for me in the hard times, then I need to not give you my good times. I need to go on, find somebody that. So, from that sense, I think it's important. But I agree with you that leading with it is
totally, broadcasting that out is that's the problem. And that's the problem with where we live now is that everybody thinks that they need to broadcast all their shit, all their problems and everything and go, okay, can you handle that? No.
Yeah,
there's a reason that, like, this is also social media had something to do with it because now you can just go scope everybody's backstory on social media because people are dumb enough to put every fucking detail of their life out there. If... Back in the day, it was, and you dated at that time, if you had a friend who was slightly, you know, a little bit crazier or more neurotic than others, what would they do when they were dating a new guy? You hide it a little bit and you let it out a little bit at a time until you're comfortable enough that you go, okay, yeah, I've got some issues, I've got some baggage, this is what I'm dealing with. You don't just fucking show up and put all of your baggage on the table at the first date and go, if you can't handle all this baggage, well, you are out of luck, my friend. Well, cool, I can go find somebody who at least... hide their baggage or work on it on their own before they just come and just expect me to pick it up and carry it for them.
Oh my God, that's so funny. So my son would tell me that I should only share half my personality on a first date. I looked at him, I was like, wait, which half? I don't even know. And so now I basically tell people, even on a first date, I say my crazy is obvious. I wear all my crazy on the outside. So I have a podcast. We talk about sexy, right? I'm a love, sex, and relationship coach. This is kind of crazy. I have 5 kids. I drove a purple car. These are all crazy things. I don't try to hide it. But I also am not, But maybe it is a little bit. Maybe there's not hiding it as opposed to maybe it is letting people unwrap you at a comfortable pace. And I'm not very good at that. I tend to blurt things out. So, okay, that's it.
That's
so,
something that society has lost in dating, in the dating world. And that's something that's actually probably better is to let somebody, you don't fucking just, it's not like flash on a trench coat, like, hey, here you go.
Yeah, here's that's everything. What I tend to do.
No, be the onion. Have multiple layers to your life and all of your issues and your drama and your bullshit. And then the more you trust somebody, the more layers you peel back. That's just kind of
apple and just one bite and then that's it. You just, that's what's inside.
Well, if you got a worm in the apple, then somebody's going to throw you away real easily.
Oh, that's okay. I think I don't think I have any real worms. I had a good washing, I think. I don't know. But
all right, let's get back to more sexy ones.
Okay. So let's
go. We've got enough of the relationship stuff.
All right. So, let's start with, what about, let's see, people who pressuring. I think pressuring someone is kind of this idea. Basically, then you're not respecting boundaries. And I think this happens a lot early in relationships as well as later in relationships where, so for example, threesomes always comes to mind just because I hear this so often, that where one person is really intrigued by it and the other person isn't. And so they take this sort of passive aggressive thing and they just kind of keep talking about, oh, did you know they had a threesome, or how about we watch this porn? And the undercurrent is, I want this and you're not saying yes, and I'm constantly pressuring you, which just, again, puts a wedge between the relationship, right? I don't think that's healthy, right?
Or yeah, I mean,
or pressuring for anal sex or for blowjobs or things like this is not respecting boundaries and just not having some real clear conversations. I don't know.
I would say that's a big red flag. Get. And especially, like, if you say no, like, don't keep asking. You know, if it's, like, something that's, like, I mean, you can talk about it, but shit. I mean, like, it ain't gonna happen. Like,
well, and I would say it's not necessarily it ain't gonna happen, but just understand that they've given a no, and now instead of being passive aggressive about it, which just keeps this constant, you know, it's kind of like just poking somebody all the time. To just have, okay, can we revisit this? Or can we talk about why this is an issue for you? Can you hear why this is important to me? And then you have to figure out, is this something just annoying? Like, there are lots of couples where butt sex is just simply, that has become a no. They've talked about, they've just, and you can decide, is that just an annoying thing that you're just going to live with? In which case, fine, then stop mentioning it. Don't tease, don't be passive aggressive, just let it go.
Yeah.
Or is it something that you need to resolve before going further? Look, I don't want to be in a relationship where we're not going to have butt sex, or I don't want to be in a relationship where we're not going to have oral pleasure together, or I don't want to be in a relationship where we're only going to have sexy once a month or every 3 months, or where you're not going to talk to me for however long, or you're not going to kiss me, or you're not going to hug me after sexy, right? All of those things could be, for some people, they'll just be annoying. For some people, they might be on the need to resolve before going further. And sometimes it could be get the fuck out. But I think you should be clear. And maybe then having, you know, with your partner, having this kind of list and understanding, all right, where on this list is this issue, would be helpful, instead of just assuming that because it's not a big deal to you, that it's not a big deal to them.
Well, not only that, like, if say you find something that you want to experience, or you want to bring into the bedroom, and your partner shuts it down and is no, if they're not willing to kind of meet you halfway of, okay, we won't do that, but how about we try something, you know, on a tangent of that, or an offshoot of that, something that's less.
Well, if they're not willing to recognize the importance of it to you,
yeah,
and to make some adjustment, to find a way where your needs are being met as well as theirs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if they're not willing to, basically, if you want to expand your actual sexy fun with them and they won't do it at all, they won't, you know, you keep bringing things to the table and no matter what, they're shooting it down going, no. That's the point where you go, okay, fine. You know what? I'm going to find somebody who actually wants to, you know, at least try and experience new things with me and, you know, doesn't want to do boring married sex the rest of my life, or boring engaged, or just boring ass sex.
Yeah, because that's when, and that's why I think sexual red flags in relationships, they're not, like I said, they're not just at the beginning. They could happen. It happens a lot when people have had children, or it happens during pregnancy where suddenly the rules have changed according to one person. And the other person is left saying, what? I didn't understand that. I didn't agree to this. What's going on? And we need to keep recognizing them and calling them out. Because too often what happens in relationships is, in marriages, people are unhappy for 6 years, which means they start out just a little bit unhappy. They start out thinking, oh, this is just annoying, and they hope it's going to get better. Then they pass the point that it needs to be resolved. They're like, I am not living without blah, blah, blah. And they let that go, and they don't actually resolve it. And then the last one they get to is, I'm getting the fuck out now. It's been 6 years. So I think I want you to realize this is for partnered people as well, because you need to, the sooner you recognize things and start dealing with them, and the more practice you have dealing with the little annoying things, the easier it is to recognize and deal with the, we need to resolve before going further, i.e. before you wind up as one of the 25% of marriages that are sexless, and you want to do that before you crash, which to me is when you just are like, get the fuck out, I'm done. So, and this, my theory is, people go to a therapist marriage counseling only actually for permission to get out of the relationship. They want to be able to say, oh, I tried everything, but they're not. They're done. They've already given up. It's been 6 years. So try not to do that. All right. So what are some other ones? What about, I think talking about or complaining. It's not just talking. It's complaining about things, particularly in your sexy life, to other people.
Yeah.
Do you guys know people that do that?
Yes. I absolutely think that's a fucking huge red flag. It's fine if you... Okay. Actually, that's not true. So I
love the way she can flip on a dime, but she'll tell you she's flipping. That's good.
So I think... I just think we're all guilty of it sometimes. Like, sometimes you go out with your girlfriends or your guy friends, and you talk about, you bitch, or, like, whatever. Like, that's... So I can't, like, say that we're all, like, these moral paradigm or whatever.
Well, no, but sometimes we should, because that's that venting. We do need to talk a little bit to figure things out. And we need friends who help support us in that. Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
And I certainly think that there are levels, like... Your best friend in the world, or your best guy friend in the world, or you're, like, let's say someone who you are super duper close with, and you're asking on, like, even if it's personal, but it's less on, like, a, you know, judgmental, just kind of like, what's your opinion on this, or listen to this, that...
And it's for constructive help, as opposed to simply knocking
your partner. If you're sitting with a bunch of your friends, or doing the locker room thing, which I know happens all the time for both men and women, and you're talking about... You know, or laughing about certain, like, really personal things in your bedroom, like, or things that you do in the bedroom, or things that you think your partner does that are weird, stuff like that. Like, critiquing your partner to your friends, like, in a group. Right. Like, I would say that is a big, I would say, like flag to me.
Yeah.
We're talking about in a, like, group chat.
Insulting
or
trying
text,
to, yeah, when you're making them... look bad, you're basically trying to knock them down, that's a problem.
Yeah,
that's being mean at its just kind of base core. Even it might be funny, but it's just mean, as opposed to it's the idea of are we laughing with each other, or are we laughing at
if
someone?
It's something that you guys have laughed at, like, together and feel comfortable sharing, and, like, you're whatever, that's fine. Like, if it's something weird and funny, whatever, that happened. But, like, yeah. I feel like this happens all the time, where, like, on both ends of the sex, like both of you, they, like, you hear some really degrading stuff about people's, like, from people and about their partners, and you're just like, I know if this person was here and, like, listening to this, like, they would not be okay with this. Like, they would not be okay with you, like, telling me or talking about people, like, you know, stuff like that, so.
Well, and that's why, so I hear women, wives, often will, and I'm glad they're talking to me and stuff, but I hear it in their tone where they're like, oh God, all he wants is a blowjob. All he wants is a blowjob. I don't know why. He just, you know, he's so lazy and stuff. I was like, no, right? That's not, you're not understanding him at all. And I know it's because she's frustrated because she doesn't want to give a blowjob, but she doesn't understand why he does. But again, I think that can be mean in another circumstance, that the question should be, why does he want this? What am I missing here? Because if you love someone, you should care about what they want, and at least to understand it, so that you can, as Aaron was saying, find another way around it or something, find some way to give them as much of what they want as possible. We can't give everybody, I mean, we can't give our partners 100%, but still. So that's sexyedschool.com. You know, again, that's why I teach how to blow his mind while loving his body, is because that blowjob issue is such a big one. Thank you. Aaron's like reminding me. You can, by the way, if you're interested, you can use, what was the promo code?
Come with us.
Thank you. Come with us is a promo code. You can get a discount on there. I'm sorry. I get into, like, wanting just to teach people. But yeah, so I think it's one we make fun of, and men will, like, they'll be out with their friends and they'll just constantly be talking about how their wives will never have sex with them, will never do anything. And I was like, that's just mean. You're not asking for help. You're not understanding. If you went to them and said, good God, I can't figure out how to turn my wife on, right? That's a damn good question for people to be asking. Not just,
or even like, why won't my wife have, not in like,
yes,
a rhetorical
exactly
way.
Exactly.
Like, I don't understand what I'm, you don't have to like, I don't understand what I'm doing wrong. Like, do you have any advice? Have you ever gone through this? Like, that's a perfectly normal I think more normal way to talk about
healthy not necessarily way. Normal. Healthy. It's a healthier way, right?
Yeah.
To talk, to learn, to share. I say when we share our love stories, because people go through the same things over and over. You're not the only person that's ever.
And I also think that laughing at someone because they did something weird in bed.
Or because they asked for something weird.
Or because they asked for something weird in bed. It can just be, I can give you an example. Me and my roommate who've been best friends forever. And this is, I'll personally, drag myself under the bus. She had sex with this guy and a while ago. And this guy farted in bed. Oh. And, she told me about it. And, it was funny at the time. But then I think back and, it's a really personal thing, and obviously the person must have been embarrassed and stuff. And I think that you can talk, but it was in a way that I feel like she told me it was listen to this, how funny is it? We were laughing at the person, but it's kind of mean, and it was a one night stand, so it wasn't she that new person. But I think that if anyone hurt, it's hard. Sometimes at least for me, we're human. We're going to sometimes err, but I don't know.
Right. And I think maybe then the idea is that if we recognize oftentimes, in that situation, she was probably laughing because one, she's worried that if she farts, that somebody else is going to laugh, quote, at her. And
so I mean, it's not that big of a deal.
It happens all the damn time. But, and it is a little, it still makes me blush just thinking about it. I get embarrassed. Hell, I farted in a yoga class the other day and I was mortified my first time in this class. But anyway, so there are those things. And so we can laugh. And in some ways we're looking for acceptance from other people. We're laughing almost as a defensive mechanism, like kindergartners, we don't know what to do. Sure. And adults laugh all the time at sex because they don't know what to do. But in some ways, then if you're with someone who does that, you could actually help them and say, oh yeah, that happens to me. And we can turn that into a laugh with, or, oh, I've been on the giving end or the receiving end of those farts and da 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 and queefs. And then it can turn that awkwardness in.
Yeah, but so, I think it's just talking about the being snarky behind someone's back. Right. It's never nice to do that. And
especially over time and time again. That's an issue because it drags people down.
I agree.
Okay. I like that. And what about, along with that is the same thing about complaining about mismatched desire levels. Because people
do. I experienced that one quite a few times.
Yes. And so again, it has to be in a constructive manner. Because mismatched desire levels early on can just be a little bit annoying because, it's early. You're still getting some sexy and you're not. I mean, when things are new, everything is just easier and more exciting. But then at some point in a relationship, mismatched desire definitely needs to resolve before going further because that is definitely along the lines of getting to.
From my personal experience, I have a huge libido.
Uh-huh.
So I would say there's just because you have mismatched desire levels doesn't mean that you're not the relationship is doomed.
Right. Or right. It could just be you need to eat every 2 hours and I only need to eat every 5 hours. So it doesn't.
But you should be honest. Don't.
And you have to find a way to do it without can't make fun of somebody for eating every 2 hours or needing to fuck all the time. Exactly, you just need a healthy way.
So if you need a release, let's say you need a release every day, right? Or something like that. And your partner doesn't want to have sex every day or doesn't want to engage in every day. Then you just need to be honest. Be like, okay, well, I'm going to get myself off.
Yeah.
And if your partner should respect that, I would think, and say you obviously need more than I can't give, I don't want or I can't give it to you. So go ahead.
Enjoy it though. Yeah. Tell me. Okay. Again, if we compare it to our need for food. If somebody says, oh, I'm hungry, I'm going to have a snack, and I don't really want one. Some people will say, well, don't tell me because, I'm on this diet and I don't want to even know. In other words, I need to not think about anything and that's not good. But a healthy person would be like, cool, have a snack. Oh, tell me. Oh, is that good? Wait, can I just have a little taste? Or I want just, oh, yum, I want that next and things like that. Mm-hmm. And then again, that can bring us closer without it being something.
Yeah.
But otherwise, if it's, oh, God, I can never eat until you're ready to eat and I'm starving all the time, that's not going to go very well.
But then also, I think on the flip side, if someone is holding out sex.
Yes, as punishment.
Yeah, as punishment or because they're mad or whatever the fuck it is. That's a different story. That's not mismatched desire. That's just there's other issues.
Right, that's passive aggressive. And I do, again, the stereotypical is that this is a wife, that a wife says no and a husband is wanting. And I think that is, it can't just be annoying. It is one of these need to resolve before going further, because that is so detrimental to a relationship. The only way I can get women to understand this, because we think about sexy, we think about sexual intimacy differently because we've been raised. So I tell women, what if he was mad at you and because you weren't giving him sexy or he wasn't thrilled with sexy, he stopped talking to you? It's like, I would never, ever, ever put up with a man who wouldn't talk. Well, that's not true. I did. So been there, done that. Again, saw the obvious, did the stupid. I hope maybe you can save yourself. But think of the way that women, whatever way you need to connect with people, whether it's hugging somebody or talking with somebody or holding their hand or simply being present watching TV, if your partner deliberately withheld that because they were mad at you and withheld it for a significant period of time, if that wouldn't feel good to you, then you have to realize that your partner wants that, you know, their version of how they feel loved and connected to you might be sexy, even though it's not yours. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that is not going to be.
Yeah, withholding sex because you're mad or equating the two. Just being mad and not talking, all those things.
Yeah, for short term, you can do it. People have fights and
like,
stuff.
For example, like I'm in a new relationship. Every new relationship, you have to go through that period where you figure out how you resolve conflicts, you know? I'm currently in that phase. We've gone through like the no talking one, which isn't worked out too well. And you have to be able to be honest and say, like, we need better conflict resolution skills than just being mad and not talking to each other or one person, you know, stuff like that.
And you can actually do it by, basically you can do code blue or code red. You could just say, okay, we're fighting right now, or this issue is there. We're overwhelmed with emotion. We both need to process things on our own and have a little bit of space, but then we're going to come back to it. You can do that and schedule the time to come back.
Yeah.
That way, neither one of you is wondering when, neither one of you is worried about, well, who's going to make the first move. Make that part of your conflict resolution is, okay, you know, we're getting nowhere.
A little bit. I'm not talking like days or anything, but a little bit of time, couple hours to let you, that works wonders for me. Because if I have two ways of resolving conflict that I learned as I was growing up. One was like the full-on, like, you're going to kill.
Right,
like you're
screaming in public.
It's
and
literally insane.
Being mean and insulting each other and just trying to convince everybody that you're right.
And then the other way, that's one way and I only do it with one person, the person who raised me. And then there's the other ways I resolve conflict is just what, and it really works, it's just like, instead of resorting to that, just stepping back for a couple of hours, thinking about it, being really angry, like in your head.
Right. Allowing yourself to feel emotions.
And
yes.
Then
that's key.
Just kind of allowing yourself. You can talk, and I think communication is good. Talk about why you're angry, but don't go at the person full angry, because that just never, to me, seems to work. It's irrational, and like you're so much more rational when you're like, you've given yourself a few hours to at least like cool off.
So actually we need to do a show. I'm making notes here. We need to do another show on basically conflict resolution, because there are lots of different things. And chemistry, men particularly, literally in the midst of an anger can get flooded by emotions, and they are not going, their brain is dealing with these chemicals, and they get flooded by emotions which turn into chemicals, and they cannot, it's not possible for them to think. So there are some things, and we'll do, I think we should do a whole show on that, how to deal with that, because that's a really good point. So just know that needs to be a absolutely need to resolve before going further. You must have healthy conflict resolution skills every single relationship.
And you have to recognize, like, last thing on this, I think you have to recognize the type of conflict resolution works for you and works for the other person.
Absolutely. And accommodate both. Yeah. Right. Just because it works for you doesn't mean it's going to be for them. Okay. What about, some other, let's see, ones are, I think when people are not generous with their sexy pleasure, I think that is kind of a sign. And that's kind of a sign of people who, again, in my five kinds of intimacy, sexual intimacy is only one kind. I think if you're not generous with intimacy in any of those categories, that is something that you need to resolve before going further. Again, I'm an example. Saw the obvious. Did the stupid. Stayed with man with no emotional connection for 23 years. If you know me, I am all about emotional intimacy, and I had none. So, not judging. I'm laughing with you. It sucks. Don't recommend it. Deal with it sooner. And I want to help you have tools to do so, because I didn't have them. But, okay, so if you're not generous with sexy pleasure, and I think too timid is also that there's part of there. There's something within a person that is holding them back, and that mm-hmm. is not good. Because in a relationship, you pretty much got to be, if you're going to have a long-term, healthy, happy relationship, you got to be all in. You got to be able
to, you know, vocalize what you want or what you feel.
Yeah.
If you're not going to, if you're in a relationship with this person and you're planning on being with them long term, but you feel like you can't step up and make your voice heard, then you really got to wonder, is it because I don't want them to, like, there could be several different reasons. Do I want them to just not like what I have to say and up and leave me? Do I...
Right. Am I afraid that they can't handle me at my worst, at my neediest, right? That's exactly... Yeah. Yeah.
But that's when you
get that framed and put up.
Yeah. But no, so right, instead of knowing that, then they're just holding back and they're just trying to keep it within the lines, and that's a problem.
Yeah. And I mean, if it's, if when it's sexy stuff, I mean, to use a different analogy, a closed mouth never gets fed. If you're not, if you're not vocalizing what you need or what you want, then what, how do you expect them to, like, if it's not something you're already doing, how do you expect your partner to fucking read your mind or read your dick or read your pussy to know that, oh, this is what they want me to do to help them get off? Like,
right. Right. And being too timid and withholding and trying too hard just for the other person really means that person then isn't getting their own needs met. And they might be trying to settle for not getting their needs met for a while, but at some point it's going to not last. At some point it's going to be, I got to get the fuck out of here. And again, you'd rather deal with it before that, I think.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Speaking of not getting needs met, before we go on with the rest of this list, if you are listening to us on Apple iTunes or on Apple Podcast, do us a favor right now. Go through, rate us 5 stars, and leave a review so more people see us.
It's like fingering us really well. I promise you, it makes us really happy. And okay, well, at least Tina and I. So
I was going to say, I don't get fingered.
Okay, well, you don't get fingered, but
not yet. Yes.
Ooh, right.
All right. Anyways, rate us 5 stars. Leave us a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. If you're listening on Spotify or Spreaker or any of the other podcasting platforms, just do us a favor and share it with at least one person. Let them know, hey, here's three goofballs who are talking a lot about sex and relationships, and they have a very interesting dynamic and take about how they argue with things, and it's actually kind of funny at times. Also, if you ever want to get in touch with us, make sure you're following us on Facebook and Instagram at Come With Us Podcast, and on Twitter at Come With Us Pod. You can always email us your questions, your comments, concerns, your confessions, anything you want to say, anything you want to say with a bit of anonymity. We won't share your name on air or anything like that.
But, and we'll always laugh with you, never at you.
Exactly. comewithusconfessions@gmail.com. comewithusconfessions@gmail.com. Anytime you want to... let us know what's on your mind in the world of relationships, in the world of sexy, if you're hungry, what you're going to eat for dinner. I don't care. I'll read it. Just, hit us up. comewithusconfessions@gmail.com. All right.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the rest of this list.
Thank you for helping. See, it's hard for even for us to ask for what we want and need. But yeah, the fact is we want and need to do this podcast. We have a great time doing it. And yet, we actually need other people to have a great time with us, too, because otherwise...
And give us some feedback. And what, you know...
Yes.
If you have an itch that we're not scratching from us, let us know.
God, I love to scratch your itches. Yes, please. All sorts of pleasure here.
Talking about fingering and scratching itches of each other. Okay.
Yes. We're all... I know. We finished this podcast. We're all turned on. I hope that's the truth for y'all, too.
Oh, fuck. I am beyond turned on.
Always. We have to, at some point, we might have to like take Tina's computer away because I swear while we're doing this podcast, she's watching porn.
Well, this is why she doesn't wear her glasses while we're doing this, is because we'd see the reflection of just some chick getting railed by an 8-inch dick right in front of us.
Well, she did right before this started. There was a hot guy. Oh my God, was he hot? I was like, yeah. We,
oh my God.
Tina and I could have just stood in line going, next, please, please. Yes, totally hot.
Okay.
But yeah, this is it, right? And again, we're all smart, we're successful, we're spiritual, and yet, oh my God, we have so much fun talking and thinking about sexy, and that's the way the world should be. Makes life better. So, all right. Well, so thinking of, let's talk about, what about the lack of experience for people, or what's their number? sometimes, right, it's the same thing, that somebody, oh, they don't have any experience and they don't know what, and is that a red flag? Or is it a red flag if they have, if their number is too high?
I mean, yeah, definitely. I mean, so from the person going, oh, well, they don't have enough experience, that I could see somebody going, I don't want to fucking teach. I'm not here to fucking be your training wheels of sex. Like,
see, and I see actually, like, why? At a certain age, if you're 25 or 30 and you've not had very much sexy and you haven't been, you know, married, if there's not a real good reason, I'm like, why? Have you not had the urge? What stopped you? I wonder, because I think sexy should be a regular part of somebody's life.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my question. Why?
I maybe feel like it happens to. So much more often than you think. Like, I feel like on Reddit, I see it all the time. Like,
that what?
I'm a blah, 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 blank this age, so usually over the age of like 20, and I'm, you know, a normal guy or this or whatever, and not, you know, not in a relationship with one person. But like, usually it's guys over 25 to like 35, and I still haven't had sex. Like, what's going on with me?
So they're virgins?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I totally, I respect the hell out of people who have decided that they are going to be virgins maybe until marriage or till some certain thing or till they find somebody they love. And I totally appreciate that and respect that. But I do think that, again, my question is always, well, but did you want to? Like, are you totally horny? In other words, are you actually in touch with your sexual part, or are you just repressing it and you're using the excuse, well, I'm not married or I'm not this, to as to why you're not getting close to somebody? I guess that's it. So I'm looking for, are people interested in intimacy emotionally, physically, romantically, sexually, and spiritually? Or are they just defensive and behind a brick wall? And that, to me, it would be a question. So to find out. And the same thing, if somebody's got a huge number, if they've just been fucking around all the time, then again, I would want to know why that is. Are they unable to really deal with true intimacy, so they sort of mask it over by just fucking a lot and pretending that's intimacy? Or what's going on? And I think the whys of there, I think, are kind of big. So whatever comes up for you, I really think that you should find out more what these things are all about. If somebody's too timid, too shy, maybe there's trauma. Oh my God, there's been so much trauma. And there are so many men who have been sexually traumatized, that have been sexually abused, that have never told anybody before, and they are going forward. And I know, because I've not only coached several of them, I've dated several of them, I've been in relationship with them. It is a problem, because their view and how they mask it, they act like it's not a big deal and whatever, but there are some deep-seated issues that come out, and that's significant. So if somebody's got any sort of high number, low number, or just discomfort, ask more questions at the beginning and don't let it just be. So, okay. What about people who have really weird fetishes or kinks or something like that? And this could be, again, what if you've been married to somebody? Because this is why people then shut up. You've been married 10 years. You didn't mention at the beginning that you really wanted to be tied up and spanked.
I mean, that's fucking how? I don't understand that.
How? Oh, you don't
how
understand
are you married
how have people
for 10
not.
Years and you haven't. Okay, I get it. It happens. But, like, I just Hello? Cannot understand how you can go 10 years without, like, I can't go, like, 3 months without someone knowing, like, all my weird sexual depravity.
Yeah. But it might not, again, it might not be, say you were to get married tomorrow and you, yes, your current, your new husband knows your current kinks and everything, oh, but well, 10 years down the line, you yeah. go, oh, well, I hated eating salmon. Oh, let me try salmon 10 years from now. And you go, yeah. oh, I like salmon.
Okay. Like, that's so different, though.
But there's more at risk, because now you're telling him, because, again, getting the fuck out is easy. 10 years down the road, where you've got this life, maybe you've got kids, maybe you've got a house, you've got your families have bonded. Suddenly there's a lot more at risk.
I can see that.
And that's where the fear is. Well, and you're like, well, I don't really need that. That hasn't been, I haven't eaten salmon for that long. So I don't care. I just won't try it.
But I can definitely see that.
That's how I think it can really happen. Not to mention all of the shame. I mean, again, Tina, you are, I think, incredibly unusual, even for somebody of your generation, because you really do seem to be so comfortable with sexy stuff. I don't think that is the typical. So I think that's one of the things, and that's why you're great on this show. It's a whole, I look and go, God, I don't even know how. Like, it's amazing. So, Yeah, I think that fetishes and kink and taste, and again, that needs to be, some are just maybe annoying, whatever, but some really do need to be resolved. And this, just share them and find help. Again, there's help out there now. There are people like us. There are therapists. There are other coaches. There's me. We are willing to help you resolve these things. So don't settle. Just don't settle. That's like, you don't have to settle for McDonald's if you want a really good hamburger. So yeah, don't do that. But, and then I do think there's probably a line where fetishes and kinks, where maybe you're just completely misaligned. And that could be, especially before you get married and get or commit and buy a house together and whatever, have kids, that maybe if your sexual tastes are completely, completely divergent, that you probably won't be good long-term couples. And I don't mean that. You might have the most awesome, amazing person, but they may not want to be. Same if somebody really wants to live on a farm and somebody really wants to live in a city. They could be both awesome, amazing people. You could get along on all sorts of things, but the fundamental part of your life, you're not in alignment, and therefore, I think, get the fuck out.
Yeah. And we've talked before about that. I mean, when we say get the fuck out, this is coming from a former divorce lawyer who also has been divorced.
Yes. It's hard. Divorce sucks.
I mean, telling somebody to get the fuck out, you think that we're just telling you, oh, and you're going to say, oh, it's a lot easier to say than to do. No.
Yes, it
is. Hurts. Yeah. It sucks. It is probably the worst thing you could ever go through in your life, but you look at it and go, do I want to look back 50 years from now and go, well, that wasn't fun? Or do you have to bite the bullet, take the pain, take the agony now, and go through and do the difficult thing, and then go find what's right for you out in the world?
Yeah. And I think for me, my experience, like I say, in a marriage for 23 years with a guy who didn't like me, the reason I stayed was, absolutely, I could give you a zillion different excuses, like five kids and whatever, but the core is because I had zero self-confidence. I didn't think I deserved love. So I sure as fuck didn't think I could ever find anything. I didn't think I could find love. I didn't think I could find better. I knew what I had was not fulfilling. I knew, and I wasn't happy in the relationship. I loved my life. I loved my family, but I wasn't happy in the relationship. And yet I didn't have the confidence to take a chance and move on. But if I had, I would have left early. And frankly, I wouldn't have slept with him. So that's the advantage. If you're not partnered yet, I promise you, think about these things. Annoying, need to resolve, or get the fuck out, and make these decisions early because they're so much easier. Once you're in, be very, very careful and very honest. But don't mislead yourself or your partner about what you really need. And the same way, you know, it's easy to say if somebody's hitting you, if somebody's absolutely a drunk, if they're a drug addict, if they're stealing, if they're bankrupt, those are easy.
Physically or emotionally.
That's easy to say, but harder to...
Right, hard to do. It's easy. People can know, oh, I shouldn't, right? Abused women typically say,
oh my God, the most toxic relationship ever, and she will acknowledge it. Or maybe like a very toxic relationship.
Yeah.
Like no, like,
right.
Like,
so not the not most, physical, but anyway, a toxic.
But really yeah. toxic. And she knows it, but they just like cannot quit yeah. each other. And it's right. just like
it's, insane. It's because this, right, the self, we get the love we think we deserve. It's really awful. But it's true. So yeah, but there are some where the red flags are so fucking obvious that we do yeah. all see them. And yet we still sometimes go on and do stupid. And I just want to try and give you confidence that we all deserve love. And we can, no matter what stupid fucking mistakes we've made in the past, we actually can do better. We can try and make amends. And we don't have to be absolutely defined by what we've done in the past. And we don't have to settle for that. So try to be honest and try and start loving yourself. And then go forward. But all right. So towards that, let's see. What else? Oh, aggressiveness. This is something, because so many times these red flags, what happens is there are little tiny, you know, little red flags, and those are the annoying ones, and we let them go and go, and then they get bigger. But people who are aggressive, if they're not nice to waiters, if they're yeah. not nice to the valet people, if you're, yeah. you know, your housekeeper, there are people at work. When people have anger issues, it comes out. And I promise you that there's something driving that. And so tackle that early on. If it's yourself or if it's your partner, don't just let that go. You don't have to say, oh, you're a fucking asshole because you're blowing up at this, you know, the server. But you can say, what's going on? Because this is not something that you want to do. It's not something I want to live with. And we need to deal with it sooner than later. So I think anger is really, actually, so the way I would talk about it is when there's a situation that should be like on a scale of 1 to 10, this should be a level 2 anger. Like you get the wrong meal at a restaurant and somebody responds with a level 8 anger. When the level of animosity or intensity doesn't match the problem, that's when you got to say, okay, let's talk about this. Don't just let that go. So, yeah. All right. What other? Any other sexual red flags?
I don't know. We've given out a lot so far.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we've like hit it.
Okay. Let's ask Aaron what.
Okay. I'm sorry. We'll
stop. All right. Any other like red flags you can think of? Aaron, let me ask you. What red flags do you think your wife might have seen in you, either before or even now? Let's turn. And then, Tina, I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to tell you mine.
Oh, that's a great question.
Getting fucking sobering and way to end on a down.
Well, no, it's not note. Because it's a powerful, I think, that we all have them. We all have our shit. And it's not.
Yeah, but nobody likes looking in the mirror and saying, this is where I fall short.
What are you talking about?
Oh, my God.
About?
See, to me, I so like it because then I'm like, oh, then I know what I have to deal with. Like, it gives me a sense of, this is the difference, because I was so bad for so long and I couldn't admit any of my insecurities.
I'm perfect.
And now I feel so much better when I can. I'm like, oh, that's a project. Okay, I can deal with it now. I can deal. So my red flag is that I am still very insecure. I'm still not particularly comfortable with my body. I still struggle to accept my nakedness. And I still have that part in my brain that's thinking, oh, if I do this, I'm a bad girl. I'm a slut. I'm a whore. And I have to fight that. And this is my whole journey, is to try and reassure myself and others that it's okay. So there you go. So I'm still defensive about that. That's my red flag. All right. What about y'all?
Aaron, you go first.
I mean, shit, we can make an entire fucking episode of this. How much time do we have here?
We don't have that much.
Yeah. Probably the number one is that I was reckless. I mean, I was when we started dating, I was 21 years old. I was full of testosterone and I wasn't tied down to anybody. So I had no, like, there was no concern about what if I don't come home tonight, because there's nobody waiting on me to come home. Like, if I were to get into a giant car wreck because I was out speeding and doing something stupid, yeah, well, it was only going to hurt me. Like,
okay,
I
so
didn't,
you weren't
I didn't
sexually
have anybody.
Reckless. You literally didn't value your life.
I don't even know if it was I didn't value my life. It's just I enjoyed, like, I was much more of a risk taker now, and like, shit, you only live once, throw caution to the wind kind of thing. Whereas now, after being in a, or, you know, hey, I'm up and I'm leaving for the week, bye, you know, without communicating that to anybody.
Yeah.
Once you're in a relationship, you've got to kind of be on the same page with that person and let them know what's going on.
Okay. And I would think that actually, if your wife met you at 21, that recklessness, that you can cover it with all sorts of excuses, but the fact is you didn't value your life very much if you were taking silly chances, you know? And so that would have been it, is why
Fair
don't
enough.
You think your life is really matters? Like, because I want to, I'm going to think, if I'm going to love you, I'm going to think your life is really fucking important. Really fucking important.
I was just more out to have fun. And if it cost me something, oh, well.
Like your life. Yeah.
I was looking to have fun.
Yeah. Okay. And that's good. And some people might not have then been able to flip that. So somebody would have looked at you and gone, well, hell, you're never going to change. This is who you are. And yeah, that's a big red flag. So
yeah. But eventually, you grow up and you mature.
Not everybody does. So how did your wife know? Did y'all talk about it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Like, we definitely had conversations, and there were big fights that we had over it at times where she,
Perfect.
You know, told me, you know, hey, like, you got to, like, if we're going to build a life together, you got to understand that, like, now you're not one. You're not an individual. You're a half now.
I love that. So that's the need to resolve before going further.
Yeah.
If we're going to have a life together, we're going to figure this out.
Yeah.
And otherwise, I'm getting the fuck out. Good. I like that. That's
a
great one.
And now, I mean, and even to this day, I don't drive nearly as recklessly as I did. I mean, I drive like I'm from Houston because I fucking am.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
that's different.
I think things through now. And it actually, it might be even something that I've taken a little bit too far, because I'm always, you know, 0 to 1,000. That I am always, like, trying to... I always want to make sure the next stone I'm going to step on isn't the back of an alligator.
Yeah. And I like that. And the good thing about you is that you also want to make sure for me. So I'll tell you I'm going to do something, or Tina will tell you, and it'll be like, no, no, no. Like, we're like, ooh. Aaron always sees, he sees the scary stuff.
Yeah.
I tend to see all the goodness and the rainbows and, you know, everything. And Aaron's like, no, wait a second. I was like,
I pointed this out on my radio show a couple weeks ago, that companies keep making these stupid decisions. They need to pay one person who is kind of has the outlook like me of what is the worst that could go wrong. You don't even have to pay me that much.
Well, that's usually called risk management.
Well, yeah, but they don't have actual risk management people who have the balls to stand up and say, hey, guys, this could go wrong. This could backfire.
Yes.
Guts.
Let's settle for guts.
Either way, they don't have the fortitude to stand up to their boss and go, hey, I know you pay Idea Man $200,000, you pay me $50,000, but Idea Man's out on his fucking ass because he's a moron. Like, that's a job I would be good at because I have no fear of it, because if I lose my job, I'll go find another job, whether it's changing tires or, you know, building houses. I'll find something. But
see,
I would be.
People
but I'm
need
always
that
very
confidence
good.
In a relationship. I didn't have that in my relationship, so that's important. Yes, you need to know that you can go find another fucking job or another fucking love. Good for you. Okay.
But
yeah.
I'm always very fucking good at going, what is the worst thing that could, like, okay, hey, a company announces, hey, we're gonna start this new ad campaign. Well, what's the worst that could happen? I mean, we're paying, you know, $4 million out the ass for this new ad campaign. If somebody gets mad, we're not going to cancel it. Or if somebody decides to go all sensitive and say that, you know, we're the next on the chopping block, you need to have somebody who's going to go, before we spend all this money on something, on a new, you know, going down this new endeavor, here's where it can go bad. Is it really worth the risk?
Yeah, okay, so you
need
somebody.
That was a very long tangent about what I have become versus what I was.
Okay, but I think that's good. And the point is that, you don't want to be just in a yes relationship, because what you're talking about is in a work situation, there are bosses that will just hire yes people or they'll promote yes people. They always agree. But then we don't actually grow, and you actually don't. You only see one perspective. And so I think in a relationship, yes, you need to both be able to challenge one another, and then you need to appreciate the other views, not just shut them down, and that it doesn't work. So this idea of trying to be just what the other person wants, it's just not going to be healthy for you or for them or for the relationship. All right, I like that.
All right, did I buy you enough time to think?
All right, Tina, what's your red flag?
Sorry.
All right, so Tina. Tina, what's your...
I don't know if I have any.
You don't have any red flags?
I bet we could find a few.
I was going to say, do you want me to start or...
Well, no, they're my red flags.
That they are your red flags.
I think I'm just, like, perfect.
Yeah, you don't actually think that. I know you well enough.
No, I do.
No, you don't.
I don't know. But, I mean, there's a lot.
Just pick one.
I'm honest.
Okay, so honest. Let's take that. Because that actually, again, like with almost anything else, things can be good and things can be used in a certain way. And so honesty is something that can definitely be incredibly useful and helpful in a relationship. We're saying, like, the idea of saying no and challenging things. And yet sometimes people will say, well, I'm just honest. And it's kind of like that defensiveness you hear, the same thing as, well, if you can't handle me at my worst, you don't deserve my best. Well, oh, well, I'm just honest is code for I'm going to tell you things in a not very nice way, and you should just accept them.
No, like, that's not true. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I might tell you how I think it is, and then you might get mad at me because it's rude. That's a red flag, right?
Right. It is, because that's why I'm saying that there's an honesty versus...
There's a delivery problem.
Yeah.
Delivery problem.
Yeah. And that's the question, right? So sometimes brutally honest actually can be cruel instead of constructive. So yeah, okay, I think that's a red flag. So I would think
like to have a good time, which can be an issue.
Yes.
Which has got me into a lot of trouble.
Yes, because you like to drink a lot and party and stuff and then not necessarily make the best of decisions.
I think definitely have had issue with that. Drinking, drugs, definitely not being safe sexually. Whoo!
There you go.
Huge red flag.
Okay. So that's good.
We don't need to have bash on Tina. We just needed, you needed one example.
Right, because it just feels good to be like, okay, this is us. We don't have to be perfect. We can all have red flags, just like our partners. But we have to know them. Sometimes, like, the fact that you're like, oh,
I mean, I'm joking that I don't know my, like, I know my faults. I know where I can, I certainly know, especially when you're with someone else, you can tell when you're like, those things aren't going to work out. And you can work on them.
Some people can. Some people just don't even notice.
Oh, okay. Well,
maybe that's a narcissist. That's a whole, whole bag of worms. But so that's the thing. So I just want, I don't mean to end this on a downer. I actually am trying to encourage all of you out there to recognize your partners can have red flags. They will. They do. You will and do have red flags. Not every red flags means get the fuck out. But especially if we start being honest about them, then we notice every tiny little one and then we can start dealing with them earlier. And that way we avoid the big crashes. Okay. It just takes practice. So don't feel bad. Don't feel ashamed. We've got red flags too. We're all just working, doing the best we can. But that means we're going to get better. The things we can voice, when we can see it and say it, we can help fix it. That's power.
Yep.
And that's a turn on.
That's growth.
That's growth.
That's part of the human existence.
Yes. And it means we're better and we love more and everything. And there's just more goodness. And God knows we're all so, I don't know, I'm so ready for some more goodness and some fun and some joy and pleasure in life. I hope
each and every one of you. Oh, I'm also petty.
Oh, dear. I love this. In the middle of the night tonight, I'm going to get a text from Tina going, and this, and this, and this. But again, I love that. I appreciate that we take this stuff seriously,
but
and
mostly
we're talking
the men
because
that
ourselves.
Have fucked me over.
Yes, I
like
know.
I can get over with women, like if you're a bitch, whatever, I can get over it. Or even if like, but if we fucked and then you're an asshole, I want to see you die.
Yeah. I can deal with assholes. I can't deal with betrayal. But anyway, so we all have our things, but this is life. Make the most of it. Do the best you can and become the best love.
No, I don't
want to
see you die, but I do want to see you, like, I don't know, get really bad diarrhea for like a few days.
Oh my gosh. All right. Oh, we should talk about revenge. I have so many funny real life revenge stories that, all right, we'll have to do a whole show on that. But all right.
While you're dating a supermodel, you get the shits and then you shit in her bed. That's what I want.
Oh my God. Okay. There you go. Red flags. All right, folks. Thank y'all so much. It has been so much fun to share Come With Us podcast with y'all today. I'm Beth Darling, your sexy genius from sexyedschool.com. Go check it out. Sign up, get a free erotic story, and you'll get a weekly email from us with all sorts of sexy tips and fun things like that. And thank you, Aaron, for being here and for sharing your wonderful, big, generous heart, and Tina for sharing your red flags with us. And I don't know, y'all make it the best. And thank you for giving me space to air my shit and to feel like I'm seen, heard, accepted, and I'll do better. Big hugs and love. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Come With Us podcast. Be sure to follow us on social media at Come With Us Podcast and send in your questions, comments, and confessions to comewithusconfessions@gmail.com. Until next time, keep it fun, flirty, and naughty.